After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode he for 3 months. And when the Jews laid in wait for him as he was about to sail to Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before us tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them in Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Father, we pray that you would stir our hearts as we look at this passage of Scripture, as we consider the great things that you have done, the great things that you have promised to do, the things you're doing right now. Lord, stir our hearts to be a part of the mission, the work, to extend your glory to our county and our country and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, unify us with one purpose of heart and mind, to exalt your name among the nations, to lift your word high. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people agreed, saying, Amen. You can be seated. It really is a great blessing every year when Luke comes and shares with us about what God is doing, and to hear the great stories and to see the passion that God has placed in his heart and just the cool things that the Lord is doing with this ministry, Cross Connection Outreach. And it has been really a great blessing to become acquainted with them and their mission over the last several years, and to really partner with them as a church. And then over the last 6 or so months, our church, we've had more of an opportunity to spend a lot of time with Luke, because I went on the board with Cross Connection Outreach in September, and then our church has taken over a lot of the administrative aspects of Cross Connection Outreach. Pastor Richard and Kelly Kierstead are overseeing a lot of the back office workings of Cross Connection Outreach. And what that's done is it's really freed Luke and Kristen up to be able to further the vision and to expand this ministry. I mean, a vision to reach the 30 nations of the world that have 50% or more illiteracy rates is a pretty dynamic and huge vision, especially when you're just a couple in Southern California. But with God, all things are possible, right? And so we want to set out to do great things for God, expecting him to do great things on our behalf. And so it's been really neat to have Luke here at the church office quite a bit throughout the week, and to see the development of this vision. And just a couple of weeks ago, Luke went with some of the team from here at the church up to the Calvary Chapel Missions Conference in Marietta, and he had a table for Cross Connection Outreach there in their exhibit hall area. And he was able to meet another ministry that was there called Galcom, and they're out of Canada, and they actually make little radios, solar-powered radios that they take into other nations, and they make the broadcasting equipment as well to be able to reach people for Christ. And so that connection with Luke and Galcom, we'll see how the Lord's going to develop it. They'll probably be the ones that will be helping us to make this new unit as we move forward with this whole thing. So it's really awesome to see what God is doing throughout the world. And next Sunday, we're going to have another missionary couple here from the Philippines, Pat and Sherry Bailey. They've been a part of our church for quite a while, since they've been ministering there in Mindanao in the Philippines, primarily amongst Muslims seeking to bring the gospel. And God has opened up doors for them to be ministering in Pakistan as well. And so they'll share a little bit about that. And so just excited to see what the Lord will open up for us with them. Last year, we sent Eddie Martinez from our church to Mozambique for the summer, and he worked with Cross Connection Outreach there, and God did some great things, and we were able to send Sergio from our Spanish ministry down to Panama for the summer, and he served with a ministry, a Calvary in Panama. And then we sent Shane Nelson to China. Well, we didn't intend to send him there for 5 months, but he stayed there for 5 months, and Kelly and Josh and I met with him about a week ago, and God has stirred his heart to return back to China, probably in just a month or so. We'll be sending him out there, and he'll be there for a year to a year and a half, where he's going to be continuing to teach English to the Chinese there, and also he's going to be learning more fully Chinese. He's actually done pretty well with his Chinese. So God is really doing some awesome things. And we have seen the ministry here at Escondido sending people out for a very long time. There's great history. This year, 2012, this church will be 31 years old. And in that time, we've seen God do amazing things. And we expect that he's going to do amazing things into the future. There's no way that we're going to slow down what we're doing. Last year, we sent teams to Mozambique and to China. We sent a team to Israel that did both ministry and touring of Israel. Almost every month, Dave Bossi is taking people down to Kate to work in the orphanage that we've been working with there for nearly 20 years, Rancho San Juan Bosco. And we sent teams last year to Phoenix, mission teams to Phoenix. And you think, what's mission teams to Phoenix? Well, it's cross-cultural ministry as we are working with Jeff Jackson's ministry, 1040 Interface there. It's kind of a dual-component ministry. One side of it is missions training. The other side of it is very practical service to refugees who have been brought to our nation from Burma and from Bhutan and from Iraq and Afghanistan and all over the world. People are being repatriated here. They're being brought here as refugees, dropped in the middle of a culture that they don't understand, they've never been a part of. I mean, imagine if you were taken today and they flew you to Burma and just dropped you in the middle of the jungle of Burma and said, all right, see you later. You'd probably die. Let's just be honest. Unless you're like the survivor guys on Discovery Channel, we'd probably just die. But they are brought here and they're dropped here, and ministries like 1040 Interface and others, they come alongside them to help them learn English, to teach them how to turn on a light. They've never seen that before. How to flush a toilet, how to take care of themselves. And this nation, it's just phenomenal. So we've sent teams to Phoenix to be involved with 1040 Interface, and we'll do that again this year. And Josh led a team to Dinuba, California to work with Gleanings for the Hungry, and some of you have been a part of that. And so God is using our church to be involved globally, and then nationally, and then locally. We have been involved in nursing home ministry for 18 years. I was actually looking through some of the minutes, the old minutes reports from our board meetings back in the early 90s, and it's some real interesting reading sometimes, actually. And I came across one, and it just had a little thing, Pastor Mark Turner, and he said that the Lord's been stirring his heart to reach out to the elderly in our community. And so we see how God has developed that ministry and continues to further it. There's far more nursing homes and care facilities in our town than we're ministering in, but we're seeking to regularly be training up more people to bring the gospel into those elder care facilities. And that's why Pastor Mark will be having a training on the 21st. And so God just opens up great doors for us. It was about 15 years ago, maybe a little bit more, that one of the members of our church, Tim Tompkins, had come to Pastor Pat at the time, and Tim had a video production company, and he said, you know, Pat, we could get these services onto cable TV on the public access channel for really cheap. And so Pat said, okay, go ahead, we don't have budget for it, so you got to figure out how to do it. Well, Tim did, and so for 15 years or more, we've been throughout San Diego County on public access on both Cox Cable and Time Warner Cable. We have the ability to be in 3 million homes a week. Now, I know 3 million people aren't watching a week, but we have the opportunity to bring the messages from our church into 3 million homes a week. And God has brought many people to our church, connected people with the gospel through that ministry. Some of you who are here today, that's how you were first introduced to the ministry of CCSGO. And so we're continuing to further that ministry. And that's why we've installed the new equipment that we have. And our video guys, Brett and Dave, they've been planning some new things for this year, especially trying to get more and more content on the internet, because the cable companies it will be a short time before the cable companies are just a utility that give you access to the content on the internet. And so we want to be as much as we can ahead of the curve and have as much content out there. And so they're planning on developing things beyond just the services here on Sundays. We're working with a group of people to develop a documentary, because Cross Connection Outreach, we connected them our church was used to connect them with New Tribes Missions and some missionaries that we've been involved with in the Philippines for a number of years. Bill and Donna Davis have been translating the New Testament into the Palawano language in the Philippines, and they're nearing the end of their work. For 25 years, they've been translating this Bible, and so now they're going to be connected with Cross Connection Outreach, and we're going to be documenting this whole thing as they finish the translation, and Cross Connection Outreach comes in to do the recording, and then our church and other churches are involved in bringing these Bibles, these audio scriptures, to a group of people who don't read. And so God is just doing awesome things. About a year and a half ago, we were given a call, actually received an email from 88.9 FM radio station, KSDW. They're associated with K-Wave, and they said, you know, we've got some time spots open, and it turned out that it was relatively cheap to be on the radio in Southern Riverside and North County, San Diego. And so for the last year and a half, we've been on the radio, and Terry Moody, he produces our broadcast every single week and gets it all set up. When I first met with Terry and said, hey, do you think you could do this? He said, well, I've never done anything like this before. But him with a Macintosh computer and GarageBand and a little microphone, he sits down and he records it and gets it all ready and puts it on the radio and makes sure it's cut to 26 minutes. And it's just amazing what God is doing through our church. We're not a huge church, but we have a huge vision. And the things that God is doing through our church are not things that just one person or even a small team of people could do. It takes the whole of the body of Christ to extend this work. And you know, the things that I've just shared with you, that's not even to mention the things that are happening right here on the campus, the School of Discipleship, the men's and women's ministry, the youth ministry, the college and career or young adults ministry, all the different things that are happening right here. Beyond that, there's so much happening in our community and beyond. It's just amazing to see what is going on. There's more than 150 people here at our church who are regularly involved in serving in some capacity, whether it's children's ministry or men's ministry or with the worship team or the sound team or walking the parking lot or recording radio broadcasts and TV broadcasts and helping plan for missions trips. It's just phenomenal. And when I step back and I see the things that we're wanting to do and planning to do, it just continues to blow my mind that the Lord has allowed me to be a part of it and to be involved in the position that I have here at the church. A lot of times I'm in all these different meetings of all these different groups, so I get to see the larger picture of what's happening. And it just boggles my mind. It blows my mind. As we're planning trips this year to China and perhaps the Philippines and maybe even a small team to Africa to help with the recording, we're meeting next month with another ministry called the American European Bethel Mission, and they have ministry bases in northern Israel and Haifa and southern Israel and in Eilat, and we're hoping to plan a youth missions trip to China or to Israel this summer to work there in Haifa and Eilat. So it's just amazing things that God is doing there. I received an email a couple of weeks ago from Dr. Varghese, Dr. TV, who developed our School of Discipleship materials, and he extended an invitation to us to take a group of people to Dubai and Nepal and India to continue to do the discipleship ministry that he has been doing for more than 30 years. And so it's just phenomenal to see these things happening and coming together. Not a huge church, but a huge vision. And we're very excited about what God is doing. So to kind of show a little bit about what that is, Kelly and a team of people have been putting together this ministry fair that we're going to have next Sunday over in the Youth Center that basically will give you an idea of what some of these ministries are here at our church and through our church. It was really cool because when we were at the Calvary Chapel Missions Conference up in Murrieta a couple of weeks ago, they have an exhibit hall for different ministries, and four or five different ministries that were there are connected to our church. They're a part of our church. Pastor Richard had a little table for Calvary Admin Services, which is a ministry that our church offers to other churches to help them with the administrative tasks of logistically getting planted as a church. And then we started a ministry last year called Logos Retirement Plan, which is a way to offer to churches and ministerial staff retirement plans that are appropriate for a church that work with church staff members. And so Doug Eagle is the one who set this up for us. He was a part of our church about 10 years ago until he and his family were relocated up to northern Los Angeles. And so we connected with him and developed this program. And he was at a conference in Indiana a few months ago. And Bob Coy, you know, Pastor Bob Coy from Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, it's like the 10th largest church in America, 17,000 members, 805 staff members. He came up to Doug and he said, I've heard about this program. I want you to set this up for my church. So pray for Doug because this week, today, Richard and Doug are flying to Florida, and they have a conference that they're going to be a part of this week in Florida. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week, Doug is meeting with Pastor Bob Coy and his executive team to develop this whole program for their church. And Doug is kind of stressing out a little bit. I don't think he expected it to take off like this. So this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, just write down on your bulletin, Doug Eagle, pray, ! So he would be blessed if you'd be praying for him. And then a little more than a year ago, we started, you may or may not know this, that we have a high school here at our church. Now, it's not a physical brick-and-mortar building high school, but it's a regular Christian private high school online. It's called Calvary Online High School. And if you can even look at the website, calvaryonlinehighschool.org. And Jared Beck, right over here. Jared, would you raise your hand? Jared is the administrator of our school. He came to our board a year and a half ago or so and shared this vision with us. And, you know, many people are moving from public education and just public schools into charter schools. And then from there is this whole new space of online high schools. A lot of colleges and universities have been doing this for a while. And now God has opened the doors for us to be involved with this, where we have students all over the world. Right now we have 25 students. Is that right? And this month, January, we will find out if our WASC accreditation is going through. We had a meeting with WASC back in November, and they shared with us at that time that we would not be denied, so we're just waiting to find out what kind of accreditation we will have. But our belief is that when we receive that accreditation, which will be this month, that that's going to begin to open the door to have a lot more students be a part of our school. Last June, we graduated two students. One of them was living in China, and she was finishing her high school career while she was working with the underground church as a missionary there. And so she was able to be a part of our school and finish her education and then step out from that. So it's just an awesome thing to see what God is doing. And he's kind of branching us out in so many different directions. It just blows my mind completely. And when I think about what God is doing, and we see how he is developing this vision, it really is a blessing to be a part of it. And not a huge church, but a huge vision. And so we want to continue to share with you a little bit more of what our vision is. And a big part of that vision, we're going to be sharing in a church meeting that we're going to have on January 29th, Sunday, January 29th at 5:30 p.m. here at the church. We'll be sharing some of the things that we are planning for 2012 that go beyond what we've talked about here this morning. So if you count this church as your home church, I would encourage you to come out on the 29th. We made sure it wasn't Super Bowl weekend. There will be no playoff game on that day. And so January 29th, 5:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary. There may be 20 people. It may be standing room only. I don't know. But we just want to share with you some of the things that God is bringing together for our church. And all of these things that we are doing, we are convinced, our elder board, our staff, our pastoral team, we're convinced that this is what God would have us be doing as a church. In Matthew 28, Jesus commissioned his church saying, "Go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So until the end of the world, we have a commission. Now, there's a whole group of people that believe 2012 is the end of the world. I don't believe so. The Lord could return this year, and that would be great. How many of you would say, "Amen, praise the Lord, let's go"? That would be wonderful. If he doesn't, we know for certain that he is with us until the end of the world, and that he's given us a commission to go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe. So when we talk about this, teaching all nations and baptizing them, this is planting churches. This is making assemblies, gatherings together of disciples. That's what it means when you're baptizing people. You're bringing them together as a congregation, a church. And when you, if you really want to know what Jesus meant when he said that, just look at what the disciples, his disciples, did for the next 30 years after that point in the book of Acts. They went throughout all the world and they planted churches, which is exactly what we see in this passage here in Acts 20 that we read from today. We see that Paul, after an uproar there in Ephesus, he gathered together the disciples, embraced them, and he departs for Macedonia. So just want to picture for a moment where we are at here in the book of Acts. Last week, we saw that Paul is in the city of Ephesus, and he has been there for nearly 3 years. Two of those years, he has been teaching at a school there in the city, and just preaching and teaching the gospel. And people are coming to him from the city of Ephesus and from all around that area of Asia to hear and to learn from him. And the gospel, as it was going forth, it is transformative. As I said last week, as Luke said this morning, the gospel is powerful. And so Paul is preaching the gospel, and the power of the gospel is shaking the pagan occultic practices of the city of Ephesus. And so there was a great stir in the city, almost a riot in the city, as we saw in our study last week. So when we come here to verse 1, we see after that uproar, after that whole thing happened in the theater at Ephesus, Paul called to him the disciples. Now this indicates to us that there in the city of Ephesus, Paul had planted a church, because there was a gathering of disciples. Disciples are learners, students. And so Paul had a group of students. Jesus said, go into all the world and teach. And so here he's teaching, and now there's students. There's disciples that are gathered together. Now, a disciple, as we see in this verse, is not just someone who receives a whole bunch of impartation of information. Paul was not just like some giant orb of info, and he's trying to download his info into the heads of those people that were under him. Because notice it says when he called the disciples to him, he embraced them. So there's a relational aspect to discipleship. It's not just information, it's relationship as well. So here he has this gathering of believers, this gathering of disciples that his heart is connected to. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, it wasn't our goal just to give you the gospel, but to impart our very souls to you. And so he's connected with this group of people that are there in Asia, there in the city of Ephesus, and a church was planted. And so he gathers them together with him there. And after they had some form of fellowship together, it says he goes from there to Macedonia. Now, if you were to look at a map, and you probably have in the back of your Bible a map of Paul's journeys, this is Paul's third missionary journey, and he is in the city of Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey, modern-day Asia Minor. And there he's ministering in Asia, and now after he prepares to depart, he travels west across the Aegean Sea to northern Greece or Macedonia. And it's very likely that he came to the city of Philippi, because that was one of the chief cities of Macedonia. This is the city that Paul, on his second missionary journey, had planted a church there. Because Paul had had a dream while he was in the city of Troas, which was also near, just north of Ephesus in Asia. He has this dream, and he sees a man of Macedonia, and the man says, come help us. And so Paul gets his team together, Luke and Silas and Timothy and whoever else was with him there in Acts chapter 16, and they travel to Philippi. And there they spend a period of time, and a church is planted, and an uproar happened there as well. And Paul and Silas are beaten and put in prison, and then they're kicked out of the city. And so now he's coming back to visit the church of Philippi. And from there, he's going to continue to visit some of the other churches. Look at verse 2 of chapter 20. When he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. So imagine, if you will, he's here in Ephesus, and he travels to the northwest, and he goes across the Aegean Sea. Now he's in Philippi, and he's traveling, and he's exhorting, he's encouraging, he's strengthening the church. He's going through these churches and teaching them and equipping them more fully than he had before. And so he probably stopped in Philippi, and then he traveled down to the south, and he would probably stop in Thessalonica, another place where he planted a church, and then Berea, another place he planted a church. And he's continuing south down into Greece and near Athens. And we don't know if he visited Athens again. He may have, because there was a work that he kind of started there in Acts chapter 17. But then we see that he comes into Greece, and verse 3 it says, and there he abode 3 months. Now, when he is staying in Greece for 3 months here, in verse 3, he is likely in the city of Corinthians, or of Corinth. Just prior to this, a few months before this situation, Paul had sent the letter to the Corinthians, the first one, 1 Corinthians. And he had sent that letter to them because, remember, the church was having all kinds of problems, a lot of problems with pride, a lot of problems with stubbornness, a lot of problems with spiritual, showing that wasn't really of God. All kinds of crazy things were happening in that church, immorality and carnality. And so Paul sends a letter, and it's a heavy letter. And he basically says, stop it. Get your act together. And he teaches them, seeks to strengthen them. And so now he comes back down to Corinth for a period of 3 months, and he's there exhorting them. The word exhort is the Greek word parakaleo, and it means to come alongside with a call. It's the idea of you running in a race, and you see someone stumble in the race, and you recognize them as your own teammate, and so you come along and say, come on, let's get up, let's continue to run the race, let's do this, let's press through, let's finish well. And so Paul comes to Corinth, and he's exhorting them to press on, to continue. He spends 3 months there, and then we read in the middle of verse 3, and when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail to Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So Paul has a plan that he's going to stay in this region for a while, and then he's going to board a ship, and he's going to go to Syria, go east on the Mediterranean to Syria. Paul's home church, Paul and Silas, their home church was in the city of Antioch, of Syria. So he's been on the mission field now for several years, more than 3 years, because 3 years he had spent in Ephesus. So he's been out on the field for 3, 4, maybe 4.5 years, and now he says, okay, I want to go back to my home church. And ultimately, his plan, as we're going to see later on in the book of Acts, is to go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. The Christian church celebrated the Feast of Pentecost because it was on Pentecost that what great event happened for the church? The Spirit of God was poured out in Acts chapter 2, and the church was basically established on the day of Pentecost. So Paul wants to get to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, and there he is very far away in Corinth. And so he says, well, we're going to take a ship from here to Syria, but somehow word gets to him that there is a plan, a plot against you from a group of Jews, and it would not be good for you to go on this boat. Who knows? Maybe this group was going to travel on the boat as well, and Paul was going to have an unfortunate mishap on the deck of the boat or something on his way back to Syria. Who knows? We don't know. But he caught wind of it, and it says that he purposed to return through Macedonia. Now, I want to just consider a couple of things here in verse 3 that I think are really important. Number one, Paul used wisdom. It's important that we seek the Lord for wisdom. Wisdom is different than knowledge. Knowledge is information, knowing something. So someone comes and gives him some information. There's a group of people plotting to take you out. Wisdom is knowing how to rightly use that knowledge. And so here he had this knowledge, and he uses wisdom and says, well, we should change our plan. So the second thing I want you to notice, he had a plan. You see, there are people sometimes in the church who think that having a plan is unspiritual. That if you really want to be led of the Lord, then never plan anything and just kind of go with it and see where you end up. There's some people who think that that's the way that Paul worked. But when you go through the book of Acts, you see that's not the case at all. There's oftentimes he had a plan, but third thing we need to recognize, he's willing to change his plan. He's flexible. So we should exercise wisdom, we should seek the Lord for a plan, and we should be flexible in our plan, because man plans his ways, but God directs his steps. And sometimes God directs our steps in a way that we didn't plan. So we've got to be open for how the Lord might direct us and lead us as we have a plan, but we should seek the Lord for a plan. And I just want you to know, although you're not often privy to the meetings that may happen here at our church, there's a lot of different things happening with our elder board and with our missions board and with the different committees that we have, wherein we're seeking the Lord for a plan. God, help us to know what you want us to do. Seeking him to be the one who directs our church. I mean, I'm not the CEO of CCESCO. God is the CEO of this church. He's the one who we seek to direct our plans. But that being the case, we don't just kind of like haphazardly stumble into things and go, oh, well, here we are. No, we're asking the Lord, help us to know the direction we should go and how to effectively do this. And this is what we see, I think, here in verse 3 with the Apostle Paul. He had a plan. He was flexible in his plan, and he uses wisdom to guide his plan. And there accompanied him, verse 4, also into Asia, Sopater of Berea. So remember, Paul started in Ephesus in verse 1. He travels northwest to Macedonia, to Philippi, and Berea, and Thessalonica. How do we know that he was in Berea and Thessalonica? I believe we know from this verse. Because as he's going, he's picking up guys. He has now with him a team of guys. Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus. So he's going to each of these cities and he's saying, hey, I want this guy, come with me. I want these two guys, come with me. And he had it. Sopater and Aristarchus and Secundus, guys with really cool names. I'm sure these are going to become hip again soon. And Gaius of Derbe. Derbe was in Galatia. This is the region that Paul planted his first churches with Barnabas. So he has Gaius from Derbe and Timothy, who is from Lystra, also in Galatia. So where Paul is going, he's recruiting a team. He's looking around for people to be a part of the work that God was doing. And that's what we're doing here at our church as well. As we're going about the mission, the work that God's called us to, we're looking around for people to say, I want to do that. Remember, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah hears God say, who will go for us and who shall we send? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. God is looking for people who are willing to just step out and say, I'll do that. I don't know how to do it, but I'll do it. I remember I was a senior in high school, and I would come down here to the church. This building wasn't finished yet. It was being built. The offices were being built. And I would come down because I had half days every day my senior year, block schedule here at Orange Glen High School. I'd come down, and I'd help fold bulletins. I'd help do whatever needed to be done. One day, Pastor Richard came to me and said, hey, listen, we're finishing up this building. We need someone to wire the phones and the network for the building. And I said, wow, that's interesting. I don't know how to do that. I'll help, but I don't know how to do that. And he said, well, here, this guy will show you how to do it, and then you do it. Now, here we are, 16 years later. It still works. It's a phenomenal thing. It's amazing. Every time the phone rings and you pick it up, I go, it's amazing. It still works. But I had no clue what I was doing. I'm sure when God began to call Todd Kent to go to the Philippines, I don't think you probably said, yeah, I got this in the bag, no problem. I think there's probably a part that just said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how that's going to work, but here am I, send me. When Rick and Kelly went to Minsk, Belarusia in 93 to plant a church there, I'm sure they weren't saying, oh yeah, it's no problem, do this all the time, it's no big deal. No, there was certainly aspects in their hearts that said, we don't feel like we can do this, but here we go. That's what it means to take a step of faith. That's when you're walking by faith and not by sight. Walking by sight is one of those things where you go, I got this in the bag. Now most of the time, when you think you got it in the bag, that's when you fall. And then God shows, you really don't know what you're talking about. And that happens to me like 15 times a day. So Paul is traveling on mission. He's on the mission. Jesus said, go into all the world and teach. Make churches, baptize them. Continue to teach. Do that. Okay, he's on mission. And in the mission, he's saying, you, come with me. You, come with me. God has gifted you with this. He's given you this talent. We need your help. Let's do this. Every single believer in this room today, you are gifted by God, by His Holy Spirit, and He's given you natural abilities and talents as well. Every natural ability and talent you have is not natural, it's supernatural. God gave it to you. He created you with that. Why? So that you could glorify Him. Yes, you can glorify Him in being a good employee for the business that you work for and in taking care of your family, because if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel, but also in glorifying Him and extending the glory of His kingdom. And so God gave you this really awesome talent and gift to know how to engineer plastics. Why? Because Cross Connection Outreach needs you. That's why. God gave you a knack and a talent to be able to record things and to, you know, learn and know how to do stuff on the computer. Why? So that you can produce line upon line radio here in Escondido. God gave you a gift and a talent and a desire to make videos, to make movies, to record stuff. And you use that for your business. You use that to make money, and you go and provide for your family by recording weddings and all this sort of stuff. But you also use it and say, I'm using this for the kingdom of God. whatever it may be, in any capacity. There's over 150 people here at our church who every week are involved in regular service to the kingdom of God, whether it be in children's ministry or the worship team or the youth ministry or as ushers or greeters or recording videos or recording audio or doing websites or whatever it may be. God has called us to be on mission. And so Paul was on mission. And while he's on mission, he's gathering together a team. Why? Because he's just one guy who cannot fulfill the huge vision that God had given to him. It was much bigger than him, planting churches throughout the known world. So what we're going to see with the Apostle Paul and the rest of the book of Acts is he's going to bring a team of guys together, and he's going to train these guys, and then he's going to send them out, and then he's going to write letters of encouragement to them. Hey, Titus, you're on the island of Crete. I left you there to establish a church. Let me encourage you what you need to do. Hey, Timothy, I've left you in the city of Philippi. Here, this is what you're to do. Hey, church at Colossae and those who are meeting there, I'm encouraging you with this. And so he's got a team. Sopater, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Timothy, Tychicus, Trophimus. I'm telling you, these are going to become popular names again. These, going before us, tarried at Troas. So, Paul, he's in Corinth. He's been collecting this team. He's stayed for 3 months in Corinth. And now he's going to go back north through Macedonia to Philippi. And then across the Aegean Sea east, back to Troas, and then down to Ephesus, and ultimately back to Syria, Antioch, and then down to Jerusalem. That's the route. That's where we're going. Notice something interesting, though, in verse 5. So this team of guys, Sopater and Secundus and Aristarchus, these guys, they go ahead of Paul to Troas. These went ahead of us. Would you circle the word us there? Why is that important? Because now the author of the book of Acts, a guy by the name of Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke as well, is now with Paul again. Where is Paul? He's in the city of Philippi, because Paul had left Luke in Philippi in Acts chapter 16. Luke was basically the overseer, the pastor of the church of Philippi. And now Paul gets him back with the team. Verse 6. And we, Paul with Luke, sailed away from Philippi. Now notice this. After the days of unleavened bread. So Paul spent time in Philippi for the Feast of Passover. That's the Days of Unleavened Bread. So what this means is Paul spent 3 months in the winter in Corinth. I mean, he's a smart guy. He's spending the winter in southern Greece. I mean, that's a good plan. So he spends the winter in southern Greece. Now he goes up in early spring to Philippi. He stays there for the Feast of Passover. And now he's got Luke with him. And they go down. They sailed to Troas. They stayed for a few days, 7 days there, and then, as we're going to see as we continue on through the book of Acts, that Paul's going to move from there on down to Ephesus, from Ephesus to Syria, and from Syria to Jerusalem. And it's going to be in Jerusalem that Paul is going to be met with a major confrontation when a group of Jews who set themselves to kill him, we're not going to eat anything until Paul is dead. And so Paul is taken captive, partially for his protection, by the Roman government. And because he's a Roman citizen, he's going to appeal to the highest authority in Rome, which is Caesar. And so now, from that point, it's going to be his journey from Jerusalem down to Caesarea by the sea, and then ultimately on his way to Rome, because I must see Rome, he said. It's an awesome thing. And in all of this, we see that Paul was on mission. And that is our goal, that is our desire, is that we would be on mission as well. That we would be, if you will, missional. What I mean by that is that we, the church, the gathering of disciples here in Escondido at 1675 Seven Oaks Road, that we would recognize that we're missionaries here in North County, California. That we would see. We didn't just grow up here and go to school here or be transplanted here because of the military or work. God placed us here to be missionaries to the culture of this place. To be missionaries in nursing homes. To be missionaries as chaplains in your company. to be missionaries down at the street fair in May or October to extend the gospel to people, to be missionaries at Cruz and Grand from April to September on Friday nights, to be missionaries wherever the Lord would plant us here to extend the glory of God to our culture. And perhaps, as you're doing that work, God will come and knock on your door one day and say, "Hey, I'd really like you to come with me to China." "I can't do that, but here am I, send me," whatever. And then you go to China and you're doing the same thing there that you're doing here. You're a missionary wherever you are. This is what the church needs to recognize, that we are called by God, commissioned by Him. It's not just the people that we pray for up here like Luke or Shane or Eddie. They're not just the ones that we're sending out. They're not the only ones doing the Great Commission. We're all doing the Great Commission. We have enjoyed His grace through salvation. We're enjoying His grace as He's making us righteous through sanctification, and now we need to extend His glory wherever we're at. And so, if anything, what I desire to do, I have no time remaining, I was going to say in the time that I have remaining, what I desire to do is to bring you the exhortation to engage in the mission, to be a part of the mission, however that might look. Maybe it is in a nursing home. Maybe it is in the children's ministry, equipping future missionaries. Maybe it is in the men's or women's ministry, strengthening the body of Christ. Perhaps it is down at the street fair. Wherever it may be, to engage in the mission with the gifts that God has given you, with the talents that God has given you, with the time that He's given to you, with the money that He's given to you, whatever it may be, to engage in the mission, because this is the greatest mission in the world. The mission of the King of Kings. Because that's the only mission that's going to continue into eternity. Every other mission, every other endeavor that we might be involved with, it's done when Jesus comes back and says, "Okay, we're out of here." Except the mission of His kingdom. It's an awesome mission. And it's a mission possible. Let's stand and pray. Father, I pray that You would unite our hearts together to accomplish the work that You have set before us as a church. That You would accomplish the work in and through us that You desire to do, Lord. Glorify Yourself in us to our culture. Open greater doors for us. Lord, help us to see and heed those Macedonian calls when they come. Come help us. Where we just lay our plan before You, and we ask You to direct our steps. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.